I'm David Halpin, from Dartmoor, retired surgeon.
And, David, what's the reason why you're still interested? I mean, this is a long, long time ago. Over 20 years ago, about the death of Dr. David Kelly. Who is this guy and why are you still interested in him?
Well, first of all, I don't like lies. Secondly, I don't like people losing their lives unnecessarily. And although I didn't take an immediate interest in his death in July of 2003, I later thought about it. And I then realized that they were subsuming, or possibly subsuming, putting inside an inquest on this man, which our law requires, inside the Hutton inquiry, which was started 3 weeks after his death, as opposed to Chilcot, a useless inquiry costing over two million into the Iraq War. We started 6.5 years after that particular Holocaust.
What's happening now, then?
I wrote an open letter to Lord Hermer, our Attorney General, since the landslide, inverted commas, election of Labour, I think it happened months ago now, you know, last autumn, and it was open. That was something like September of last year. I've had a medical problem to deal with, quite a serious one, not cancer, but I've been distracted by that, and I am now 85. My birthday was 14th of this month, so I'm feeling a bit older, but I haven't given up, and I will never give up trying to put things right, as surgeons usually do. And so I sent an open letter. It's on my website. It's quite explicit, a plea for inquest on David Kelly, CMG, Doctor of Science. And I wrote to the inquest team then. They replied courteously, and I've been in contact with them since. My efforts with them are a bit staccato, but they've all been brought together in my present posting, an open letter to the inquest team, and especially to the Attorney General, Lord Hummer. We're not on the same pathway now, but in 2008, he gave good advice to a group of us, the group of doctors who got together pleading for an inquest on this man who's never had a proper inquest against the law of the UK. That's the story.
What are you actually trying to do, David? What are you trying to achieve with this letter?
I'm trying to get Lord Hermer to instigate an inquest.
The institutions of the Cabinet and central government are very resistant to being asked what to do when it comes to anything to do with discrediting. I mean, we've now got a Labour government. This might possibly really discredit the great international statesman Tony Blair.
Yes, of course it does, and that's central.
Well, they're not going to do that, surely.
Oh, well, the time has come. Millions have been killed since, and then, as a result of the utterly unlawful war in Iraq. And if you read my rather long posting, it's about, I don't know how much is on A4 pages, but it's quite long. And I've been trying to contact Michel Chossadovsky of Global Research to post it there to help spread it round. But the thing is that it's very direct. And if you read it, I have very good grounds for asking the Attorney General to instigate an inquest. The inquest team have given me a note as to how one should do that, and there are three grounds which they've given me, which I base my appeal to him. And it's in the posting. I've dealt with that. I think it's in section 3. They're labelled from 1 to 8. Number 8 is my direct words to Lord Hummer.
Okay, so can you take us through you as a doctor, a surgeon, a pathologist possibly, can take us through some of the main reasons why the official story about Dr. David Kelly cannot be true?
Well, it's a vast story, but the omissions in the Hutton inquiry were vast, and there's been a great deal of new evidence that emerged since. And they're saying, the inquest team, that there's no new evidence. Well, there is a lot of new evidence. And particularly, this is none of it has been tested in a court of law, a coronial court. And it should be, because our country is lowered beyond imagination. And truth matters.
Well, it does. Look, so I'm asking you now, I'm putting you on the spot. Can you tell us, from a medical point of view, what it is that that is wrong with the official account?
Well, the official account, there are several key matters. The person who was called to examine the corpse of Dr. Kelly on the 18th of July 2003 was a Dr. Nicholas Hunt. He'd been 9 years qualified as a doctor. He'd been on the Home Office list of pathologists for 2 years. So a doctor of very limited experience was called for a meeting. In fact, the constabulary in Hampshire called up from there to attend the scene on Harrowdown Hill, a man who was our leading weapons expert with full clearance, security clearance in this country and in America, was found dead with a slits on his left wrist, what was found to be a cut across ulnar artery, and some two packets, empty packets, bar one pill, interestingly, of a sedative drug in his barber jacket, which he was alleged to be wearing on a very muggy July day. Dr. Hunt carried out a post-mortem at the John Raleigh Infirmary on the Saturday, finishing on after midnight of the Saturday. In attendance were, interestingly, 9 police officers. Usually at a post-mortem, there is a mortuary attendant who exposes the brain pathologist, and usually a coroner's officer, usually a retired police officer. I know that from having attended many post-mortems. He made a report, Dr. Hunt, no doubt into a hand recorder, and that was typed up, no doubt, the next day on the Sunday, or possibly the Monday. That has never been revealed. The coroner, Nicholas Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R, the senior coroner for Oxford then, corresponded with Dr. Hunt, and a few days later, having been in contact with a Miss Albon of the Home Office, and he told Dr. Hunt that he'd have to revise his opinion based on his first report. He did revise his opinion. We never knew that until much later on when we saw that report. Anyway, it's been well defined, and this is in, if you look at my website and put in Dr. Hunt or Hunt, Nicholas Hunt, you'll find a key letter to the GMC asking them to examine the professional conduct of Dr. Hunt. In that very complete posting, I report the views of 2 leading forensic pathologists. I can't immediately remember their names, but both of them said that any pathologist producing a report should always show his train of thought. This was particularly relevant to a case dealt with by a doctor fellow called Kenneth Shorrock, also an FRCS. Shorrock actually is no longer a pathologist on the Home Office, and he was called to the Southwell Inquiry, was involved with the assassination of Jean-Charles de Menez. Now, that case of Shorrock raised questions about how pathologists should behave. Shorrock he behaved unprofessionally, it was professional misconduct, and it was later proved by the GMC, and he was, in fact, I think, struck off. I can't remember now what happened, but they found 8 charges against Shorrock were found to be correct. That's the GMC. Now, going back on that, the senior pathologists made it quite clear that first report from Hunt on this most prominent death of Dr. Kelly should be revealed. And it never was. We don't have it publicly, and it was never mentioned. I think it might have been, it wasn't mentioned in the Hutton inquiry, which we know is a whitewash. And David Halpin, in his 85th year, is not tolerating this untruth in a illusory democracy. Full stop.
Okay, well, look, after your full stop, David, how can listeners help?
Well, you can help me along by promulgating the posting and by, in fact, broadcasting this interview now. What I must conclude by this, the conclusions that Dr. Hunt made, the first cause of death was hemorrhage from an incised, from a cut on the, I'm paraphrasing, cut on his left wrist. The second cause of death was the ingestion of cheirodromol. I forget the picture title now. It was a combination of paracetamol and a opiate, like an analog of an opiate, dextropropoxifene. That depresses respiration and can kill from that, and it can also cause arrhythmias. So the third cause of death, adding to that, was the possible effect on his coronaries. So they mentioned, Dr. Hunt included, coronary atherosclerosis. The evidence that he gave for that was not great, and many men of 65, whatever Kelly was, will have some, likely have some, evidence of arterial disease in their coronary system. I don't think I have, incidentally. So, we have causes of death. The first cause of death is hemorrhage from that. That is absolute nonsense. And that's the key to this case.
Well, look, okay, so, okay, hang on, David, because I want you, as a surgeon, in an informal conversation here, you're not giving evidence at some coroner's court. Who killed him and how did he die?
Who killed him? We don't know. We want an inquest. We want to know whether he was killed or whether it was suicide. The conclusion was that he took his life. That is very much...
Well, I mean, you've looked into this more than almost any other doctor on planet Earth. How did the man die?
He died... well, if I'm asked to guess based on my professional knowledge, I cannot say exactly what mechanism, but it wasn't through hemorrhage. It might be from toxic injection.
Wouldn't that be picked up by a coroner if he'd been injected with something?
Well, there's something in the, if you look at the post-mortem findings, as eventually revealed in Dr. Hunt's examination. Incidentally, he took the body temperature 7 hours after he arrived at the scene. Taking the temperature fairly promptly does help one establish the window when the death occurred. In his case, the window was expanded quite greatly, partly by this, what I would say was a necessary delay in establishing the body temperature. But in that post-mortem examination, he did notice a little mark inside his right thigh. That wasn't, I don't think, sectioned. If it was excised at the autopsy and then examined microscopically, it might have shown whether that where there was any needle prick at that site. That's one thing. Another thing which was noted was that there was a laceration of his, I think, bottom lip, or top, I can't remember top or bottom, but I know very well, as a doctor who's attended many people being anaesthetized, that it's very important that when the anaesthetist inserts a tracheostomy tube, that when he puts the laryngoscope down, that the assistant, the ODA as he's called, or she, holds the lip down so that the laryngoscope does not trap the lip between the teeth, causing it to be cut and therefore causing discomfort afterwards for the poor patient. In Kelly's case, there was a cut on the lip. He also had a bruise over his right eye, or an abrasion, I think it was. he also had some abrasions. He also had some bruises, I think, by his knees. The evidence for blood at the scene was minimal. Bartlett, the senior paramedic, commented on that. He had a blood stain over his right knee in the jeans, equivalent to 50 ppb. He had some dried blood on the jacket of his barber jacket and on his wrist. But the assistant paramedic, a lady, name just forgotten for a moment, she was astounded by the lack of blood. And as paramedics, they sometimes attempted suicides when there was blood all over the place, but the patient was surviving. That's my experience as a doctor too. You need to lose almost half your blood volume to die of exsanguination. I couldn't add much more.
No, well, that's fine. Finally, can you just give listeners the headline title of your piece about Kelly, and also your web address, please?
Okay, fine. I couldn't get onto Skype, by the way, because there was a torrent of messages coming in.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't. You know, what they've done is they've made it so good, lots of people use it. And they've now decided that they're going to incorporate it into some much more complex Microsoft Teams system. So, you know, you would have thought that it would be, in any normal world, it would be just, if they didn't want it, they'd sell it off. But no, they're using it to try and bring people into some... I mean, what Microsoft are doing generally is to try and get everybody to pay an annual subscription for everything. So, you know, if you want the old-fashioned Microsoft Word, which used to be free for decades, now if you want to use that, then you've got to buy. And of course, our local authorities all do that. We were speaking to a lady from Brighton the other week who was working with IBM in the 1990s, and they said, well, we just use this to control governments. And so every government contract with Microsoft is just a way for foreign corporations, investors, national security agency, etc., just to control your government, to watch everything that's going on, and to be involved in vetting who is in and who isn't in your government. In fact, we've now got vetting of police officers, haven't we? So if somebody doesn't like what a police officer's done, maybe that they've actually arrested a criminal, they can be sacked.
Yes, I know. Well, the thing is that what you're saying is that we're funding the oligarchs who control the government.
What's your headline? What's your website, David?
Right, the website is, I'll recite it, https://dhalpin.infoaction.org.uk. It's a vast website, and I believe that all of it is truthful. Some of it I would edit for inaccuracy. The title of the posting I'm referring to, I'm going to give you now. It follows the previous one, the title of which is, and it's an important one, The Continuum of Fascism, Part 14. The Gazan Holocaust grafted onto a 76-year-long genocide, hyphen, in plain sight globally. The title of the one I'm talking about now, A Continued Plea for an Inquest into the Unnatural Death of Dr. David Kelly, CMG, Doctor of Science, 17/18/07, July 2003. That's when he died. The two dates refer to the fact that the window of death was enlarged largely by the delay in measuring his body temperature. And if I could just read out, this is very, very important, actually. I've added, my wonderful webmaster, Bill Stevens, has added a paragraph here. This is under three. It's in eight sections, this thing. The last section, eight, as I said, being a personal address to Lord Hermer. This is what I've added, and it's very, very important. There are many pieces of evidence which are, in inverted commas, substantively new. This is what they were questioning, the inquest team. I add those many critical omissions of evidence within Hutton, plus the absence of key witnesses such as May Peterson, who translated for David Kelly in some of those 39 visits he made to Iraq under ONSCOM. Add further that his second visit to Iraq after the Holocaust of shock and awe that started 22/3/2003 needs further examination in the colonial court. And I paraphrase. It is what the Iraqis say it is, I paraphrase, machines for making hydrogen for artillery balloons, as reported by Peter Beaumont in The Observer. This demolished the charge made by the US that these two vehicles, found by the Iraq Survey Group in May 2003, and much publicized, were capable of producing a WMD. This had been predicted by Colin Parr, 65th Secretary of State, to the UN Security Council in a packed audience on the 2nd of February 2003. This lie, the casus belli, based on the alleged possession of WMDs, which was backed up by Blair in the House of Commons in the days before the shock and awing, was deflated by this moral man in just two sentences. In fact, it was four. Is this why his life was more endangered? Mackay, who led the survey group, an American, later dismissed as slam dunk such possession, that is, the WMDs. And I have, in a further communication, which I'll send you by email, written again to the inquest team, giving them the verbatim account of what Dr. Kelly said over the phone to Beaumont. That was in June of 2003, and in July, about 4 weeks later, he was dead. I'm quite certain that the sofa cabinet of the paramount psychopath and war criminal Blair, Mandelson, Powell, and the other ones, damned Campbell. I imagine that when they heard what Dr. Kelly had said, they were very disturbed.
There was somebody else, wasn't there, that was also exposing the lies. He was a foreign secretary from 1997 until 2001.
Butler?
No, Butler. This is Robin Cook.
Oh, Robin Cook.
He was also...
Well, we know, there's no question that, and in fact we have extra evidence about Robin Cook's demise.
The reason I mention him is because he was also a very credible person who was all over the mainstream press, really exposing the lies of the Blair government after he'd resigned, and the United States. I mean, he would be on the Today program arguing with American spokespeople and really wiping the floor with them. What were the questions about Robin Cook then?
Well, all sorts of questions. I happen to know the GP who was looking after him. And he was a healthy man. He'd been checked over the year before. He was said to have died of a coronary on
Ben Stack.
Oddly enough, a mountain owned by that chap who's non-remember of the... Earl something. Anyway, I forget his name actually now, but he is an honorary member of the SAS.
But what about the way he died, David?
Well, we don't know. The whole thing is odd.
Yeah.
There happened to be another walker there who witnessed the scene. He was there with his wife, a younger lady who was a secretary in one of the offices. But she did not accompany a forces helicopter, which conveyed his body to Inverness.
Yeah, it's a bit extraordinary, isn't it, that it should be, a helicopter on an exercise.
She wasn't in, as far as I know, in a helicopter. We haven't heard of her since, have we?
Well, she seems to have disappeared. Maybe she's been threatened. Who knows? But anyway, look, this is quite depressing, some of this stuff, particularly to do with the fact that although the law is enforced on the lower minions, actually the super elite mass murderers who seem to be part of some kind of death cult, happen to them. So what have you got to say to listeners to keep us going, David?
Well, to keep us going is that everyone must retain their common sense. They must hold dear to them that Mosaic principle of love thy neighbour. I'm weeping now to think of my friends and all the thousands and thousands of people in Gaza who are being bombed as we speak. I have a friend there, Mahmoud Baroud, PhD. He was over here about 10 years ago with his six children, reading for PhD. He's an expert. His subject is English literature. He is a fine, educated, sympathetic.
You're sharing with us more bad news. Is there anything that can keep us going in all this?
Well, we will win eventually, because truth will set us free. Mark 23. I'm not a Bible scholar, and I don't ever attend a church, but I do follow the words of Jesus Christ, Isa, in the Muslim world.
David Halpin, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.